This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You're listening to Score Evenings, weeknights 6 to 9.
What's your assessment of Luther?
Luther? Stud. Yeah, I mean, you saw the highlights, right? I mean, he's a playmaker waiting to happen. I mean, went to the same high school, I believe, as Jameson Williams. J-Mo texted me right after we took him, and he said, you got a dog just like me, you know? And so Luther has that same confidence. He's got that same swagger to him. For 6 foot, 200 plus pounds, it's rare to see somebody with his movement skills. He can stop on a dime and accelerate just like that. Give him a little bit of space and he can make big things happen. And so a dangerous player, weapon, call him what you want, but I see big things in his future.
I love that Bears head coach Ben Johnson's response to the question about Luther Burden. He's kind of insulted. He's like, what? Huh? Stud. Yo, it's Luther Burden, man. Second round pick. Did you see what this guy did in college? As we welcome you back in on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I am Mark Grody. We talked a little bit of Bears in the first segment of the show. We got our Cubs on for about the last 45 minutes or so, which means I have to get back to Bears. And I bring in one of my favorite reporters on the beat on the NFC North. She is a reporter for Fox Sports, and Carmen Vitale joining us now on the Circa Sports Hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. Carmi V, how are ye?
What an intro. Thanks so much, Grody.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I've been thinking about that, how are ye, for just a little while now.
I adore that. You're the first person that's ever done that. So thanks.
I figured as much. Are you as excited about Luther Burden, the Bears' second-round pick and wide receiver, as Ben Johnson seems to be?
I don't know that I've seen enough of him, but if Ben Johnson's excited, that's good enough for me.
Yeah.
I was one of those things where when the Bears took him, I'm like, okay, this is one of those things where we've seen Ben Johnson be able to kind of concoct offenses and out of the playmakers that he has. And that's kind of, you know, with all the chatter about Ashton Jeanty, or at the time, Tyler Warren, obviously ended up being Colson Loveland. It was like, well, do the Bears need the running back? Do they need the tight end? Do they need to, what do they need for the offense? And the answer is just a playmaker. I don't think we need to get kind of caught up with positions necessarily when Ben Johnson's at the helm now, and he's going to figure out how to make all these guys go.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right. I would like to, Carmen Vitale, if you don't mind, may I read something to you that you wrote on Twitter? Is that okay? Because that's weird for some people. May I do
no,
that?
No, it's fine. Go for it. I'm kind of scared, but okay.
No, I love the tweet. It says the following. And this is from at Carmi V. You should follow her on Twitter. In order to get different results, You have to do something you've never done before. And the Bears did that in getting Ben Johnson. So I am optimistic. But it's also May, and I want to caution against expecting the full Ben Johnson offense right away in Chicago. The Lions started 1-6 in his first season as OC, building the offense into the potent, dominating, petty scheme we saw last year from Detroit still takes time. And I got to tell you, Carmen, I kind of talked about something similar in the first part of the show I'm doing tonight, and that is I went through every Bears head coach starting in 1978, Neil Armstrong, Mike Ditka, Dave Wannstedt, Dick Geron, Lovie Smith, Mark Trestman, John Fox, Matt Nagy, and Matt Eberflus. One of them had a winning season in his first year, and that was Matt Nagy in 2018. So I think that what you're saying is justified. Maybe explain a little bit further, and how did it feel having a tweet read to you?
Yeah, it's jarring to say the least. You read it in your head and then you just kind of put it out in the ether and you forget about it.
Yeah, I got you. I know.
It was part of a conversation I had when I was on Kay Adams' show up in Adams the other day. And for all of the optimism that I really do have, because the Bears are behaving differently than they have in the past, they went out and they got the highly coveted head coach prospect in Ben Johnson. He still has to be a head coach first. We don't know what that looks like quite yet. But on top of that, they spent money on his staff. Then they went and they were proactive in free agency and they spent money on those guys. And then in the draft, they were really kind of taking the best player available. They were sticking to their process and weren't necessarily reaching for anything because they had afforded themselves the flexibility to be able to do that in free agency. You can see the plan so crystal clear, and I can't say that about any other time recently, at least, for the Chicago Bears. But at the same time, I grew up in this market. I grew up a huge Bears fan. I can't afford to give them the benefit of the doubt. I need to still see it. And that still needs to happen because we don't know what this all looks like when it's put together. It looks great on paper, but how many times, Gordy, have we said that before? So I want to caution against immediate expectations. It's still going to take some time to gel. And like I said in the tweet, Ben Johnson, especially when you're starting something from scratch, because he really is the type of coach that you know, makes his or concocts his scheme. I keep using that phrase, but it perfectly describes what he does. He puts a scheme together based on his personnel, and that takes time from his perspective to put it together, from the player's perspective to play together, and it doesn't always look like its final form right away. That was true in Detroit when I said they started 1-6. It didn't look super pretty initially. He didn't have Jahmyr Gibbs and Sam Laporta quite yet. He didn't have kind of the finishing touches on all of it. So my only plea is to just give this time because the Bears have already kind of acted differently. So I do think that there's room for optimism, but just maybe not, you know, just don't expect too much right away. Trust the process a little bit more.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, the question that I asked right out of the box was, are we out of control again in May? And I'm like you. I grew up in this market, Bears fan as a kid. I've seen a lot. I'm a little older than you, Carmi V. So I've seen even more. And it's amazing because guess what? And part maybe why I'm pulling back is because last year I kind of fell for it. I kind of fell for DJ. If I remember correctly, you were pretty even keeled about it last year too. Am I right? Or did you fall for it as well?
Was.
I don't think you did fall for it.
I feel like I took a lot of flack for being the wet blanket of coverage on the Bears because as the stuff that they did was on paper, I was like, I still need to see it. They didn't do enough on the offensive line for me. They didn't answer enough questions along that unit for me. They didn't answer enough questions as far as the roster building went. And I felt like a lot of it was kind of Band-Aid. So I was like, this could work. Don't get me wrong, it could work, but let's see it. Like, I need to see it. And so I'm more optimistic this time around, like I said, for all of the differences that we've seen out of the Bears and how they're behaving as an organization. I'm a little bit more optimistic this time around, but I'm still, especially when you play in this division and especially when the NFC North is playing the AFC North this year, I can't count my chickens until they hatch.
Yeah. No, I am totally with you. And I've watched you on Marquee, and I believe you've had to defend yourself from being the wet blanket on that program too. So you've had, I give you, you deserve some sort of medal because you tell the truth. We got to tell the truth, right, Carmi V?
I try. I try. And also, like, just as a person, I would rather be pleasantly surprised than wholeheartedly disappointed.
So, oh, you've been hurt before.
I've been hurt so many times. So I'm sorry if I've got some trust issues here, but I think it's made me a better reporter.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You've got it. Caleb Williams, why will he be better this year? And how much better does he have to be this year?
Yeah, you hear Ben Johnson talk about taking him down to the studs, and it's very interesting, too, because Caleb Williams is not Jared Goff. They're not the same quarterback. They're not the same kind of quarterback, so they don't have the same skill sets. And I do think that with Caleb Williams' ability to go off script and create in the backfield, that was something that I saw Ben Johnson's eyes light up when he talked about it. And so I do think that he's going to leave room for that, but it's going to look, I feel like, very boring in the beginning. And it goes along with kind of building up this offense and starting with the basics. I very much anticipate Ben Johnson, if he's talking about getting Caleb Williams back to the fundamentals, you're going to see a lot of kind of that rhythm, the timing, the short passes, the just high completion percentages, making sure that he is making the right decisions before he's opening up the playbook to getting creative. I think it's going to look pretty vanilla in the beginning, but I think that's okay. And so I think if he can just be, you know, kind of one of those more a stable presence for Caleb, and I think if Caleb can be a stable presence, I think the line in front of him is really going to help with that too, specifically Drew Dahlman, the center, maybe taking some stuff off of Caleb Williams' plate. Mm-hmm. I don't know that he needs to be a whole lot better than he was last year. He took care of the football after all. I just need to make sure that he's understanding and seeing the game like Ben Johnson seeing the game, and they're kind of in lockstep with that, because then that's when you can start building, and then you start getting to the fun stuff.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I can't, I mean, and look, Ben Johnson, every time we've talked to him, I believe at some point in time he tells us it's going to be hard, man. It's going to be hard, you know, breaking it down. I mean, it's going to be difficult for everybody. And I think part of that, Carmi, is that is absolutely what it's going to be. And you're right, it might be a little bit boring at first. There might be some growing pains in the first few games. And I think we all have to prepare ourselves for that potential. Not that it can't blast off this year. I mean, it's all possible. But the idea that, you know, everybody's pounding the 8.5 over on BetMGM as we speak, I think is just a little bit of a cautionary note, probably from both of us at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, the Lions started 1-6 with Ben Johnson as the offensive coordinator. But if you remember how they finished that season, they had all the momentum going in the world. They kept the Green Bay Packers out of the playoffs in the last game of the season just out of spite. I mean, it was an incredible kind of culture shift to see, but it didn't kick in right away. But what I did see, because I was in that locker room in Detroit when they were 1-6, and I didn't see a group of guys that was down or depressed or like didn't believe in themselves. You would have never known the Lions were 1-6 if you had gone to that locker room. There was music playing. Guys were having fun.
Wow.
Guys were joking around with us, with reporters. It was a really great environment to be in because they had the internal belief long before anybody else believed in them. And so if you can instill that in Chicago, we don't even have to see it first. But that doesn't mean that we won't see it by the end of the season. And to your point, we should be able to see a lot of those returns because the Bears are starting with a higher floor, I believe, than that Lions roster. I think that we're going to see it by the end of the season, but I don't know what that translates into as far as team success, maybe a playoff push, maybe a winning record. I don't know what that looks like. Again, not only because this is going to take a little while, but also because the Bears play in the toughest division in the NFL.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it's a great division. We're talking to Carmen Vitale, NFC North reporter for Fox Sports. So let's expand our viewpoint here a little bit between Detroit and Green Bay and Minnesota. Who's the best team in the division? Is it still Detroit?
I think so, but I think if you're any other team in the division, you can't think like that. You have to think that you have an opportunity because Detroit conceivably could take a little bit of a step back. because they lost so many. They've lost both of their coordinators and multiple other assistants, too. I mean, mm-hmm. Aaron Glenn took a couple guys with him. Obviously, Ben Johnson took a couple guys with him. So you have to think that that's going to mean something. How much does that mean? I don't know. Are we going to see, like, you know, what it looked like in Philadelphia with the Eagles, where they took a drastic step back? Or is that roster really good enough in Detroit to kind of carry them through this change, this wave of change? And they're promoting a lot of guys from the, like, from the inside there in Detroit. Kelvin Shepard taking over as DC, most notably, where I'm really excited to see what he can do as a coordinator, because the guy, he already has the locker room, he already has the defense, the guys love him so much. So they, it could be pretty seamless in Detroit. But I mean, if you're Minnesota, you're like, well, hold on, if JJ McCarthy turns into the guy that we think he is, we just beefed up everything else on this roster. We've essentially quarterback proofed our roster, so we don't need a whole lot out of JJ McCarthy to be successful this year. We just need him to be baseline good, you know, trending upward, and we can take care of the rest. You look at that defense now, and if it wasn't scary last year, you add John Allen and you add Javon Hargrave, and like, that is it, it's every single team in the division did something on the offensive and defensive lines, like, significant. And I think that Minnesota is going under talked about as far as what they did to their offensive line, because the tackles really covered up a lot of issues that they had with their interior. That is no longer the case. And then you look at Green Bay, they draft another guy, they bring in offensive line help. They know that Jordan Love has to stay upright, can't be getting hurt. That just messes with the entire season. But then they go out and they get a receiver in the first round for the first time since I can remember. I mean, they're doing all of the right things as well. So I still think that Detroit has the potential to be the best in the division, but don't count out Minnesota and don't count out Green Bay. I don't know where that leaves the Bears, quite honestly, because their biggest question mark is their head coach, and that's a pretty big question mark.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Were you thinking of Aaron Rodgers as I was when Green Bay drafted Matthew Golden in the first round and then an offensive lineman, because we know that that's what he was begging for when he was still with the Packers?
Yeah, I know. I'm just like, are you guys still being a little petty? Because I would fully support it. It would be great.
Totally. But the better question is Aaron Rodgers coming to the division? I mean, we keep hearing, like, the linkage to Minnesota. You think that's possible?
I don't know if there's, like, some obsession with the Favre arc that he wants to complete, because it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me from Minnesota's standpoint. But it does make sense that Aaron Rodgers is potentially holding out at this point for any team other than Pittsburgh. And Minnesota, I guess, would be in that, and it would be a good situation. I mean, you want to talk about a team that you could potentially elevate to a contender, I think Minnesota could be it. But I also don't think that Minnesota has any interest in giving up on J.J. McCarthy right now and not developing him and starting someone with the intent of him being the starter the whole season. Because when they brought Sam Darnold in, he was only supposed to be the bridge for, like, the first few games, maybe half a season as J.J. McCarthy came along. He wasn't supposed to start that whole season. So if they weren't going to do that with J.J. McCarthy last year, why would they do that this year? Mm. Especially when you have Kevin O'Connell,
yes,
who's such an incredible developer of quarterbacks.
Yes.
So I think they're going to stick with their plan all along. I don't foresee them. I mean, stranger things have happened. I just don't know what would be in it for Minnesota at this point. I get what would be in it for Aaron Rodgers. I don't see that necessarily going over well in Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, like, because we still don't know. I mean, it's possible that Sam Darnold was a product of the head coaching of Kevin O'Connell. I mean, I guess we're going to really find out. Like, if he keeps on, like, pushing out great quarterbacks and terrific offenses, we may find out, right?
Yeah, I'm very curious to see what this looks like in Seattle with Sam Darnold in the Clint Kubiak system. I think it could be good for Sam, but that offensive line worries me. They don't have the weapons that Minnesota did last year for Sam Darnold. And then, yeah, I mean, how much of that really was Kevin O'Connell? Because we saw what he did when Kirk Cousins immediately went down with guys like Josh Dobbs and Nick Mullen. I mean, like, they had guys signing off the street and playing the next day. So I really think that we're underestimating just how much of that could have been Kevin O'Connell. But I think Sam Darnold is going to be a really good litmus test in Seattle to see, all right, how much did he rehab him, or how much was just Kevin O'Connell playing live action Madden? Because that's the joke I use.
I love that.
With Josh Dobbs. I'm like, he's just in the headset playing Madden until it cuts off.
Yeah, I love that. I do want to zoom out even further. Our NFL day today started with a trade. The Pittsburgh Steelers move wide receiver George Pickens and a 2026 sixth rounder to the Dallas Cowboys for a 2026 third round pick and a 2027 fifth rounder. What did you think about that?
I have been shouting from the rooftops that the Cowboys needed more on their offense for Dak Prescott since before last season. Everyone's like, oh, they've got all these Pro Bowlers. They've got this, that, the other. I'm like, who do they have outside of CeeDee Lamb that any defense is afraid of on that offense? And the answer was nobody. And you saw that with how unproductive the offense was, because you guard CeeDee Lamb and you're set. The Cowboys aren't doing anything else. And then Dak gets hurt, and there's, you know, obviously that all went. But the thing to me is that they always needed a guy that was going to be a threat to defenses that played complementary to CeeDee Lamb. And so I do think that that was good on their part if they can rein in George Pickens. I think a change of scenery could be just what he needs, but he is an extremely talented player. And if you can harness that, that's going to create some really tough decisions for some defenses when they're playing the Dallas Cowboys, especially if they can get their run game going too and be more of a complete offense.
They do know when to trade receivers, though. Bears got burned by Chase Claypool a few years ago, so.
They sure did.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know if, look, we know some of the character issues with Pickens, so they became much more clear with Chase Claypool. So we shall see. I think on the surface, it's probably a pretty good move for Dallas. I'm not sure about the Steelers, but great stuff as always, Carmen Vitale. When is the next airing of the Marquee Bears podcast?
So it airs every Tuesday between 5 and 6 p.m. on Marquee. But also, we have rebranded the show into the Chicago Football Show, and it will now be available on YouTube.
Oh, awesome.
So if you miss it when it's on Marquee Sportsnet, I honestly keep just getting pictures of it on in the background at bars without sound, which is honestly probably the best way to watch it. But you can now check it out on YouTube, too. We're really excited about that.
That's awesome. We'll keep up the good work on the podcast and obviously on Fox Sports. Thanks for coming on, Carmen. I appreciate it.
Of course. Anytime.
You got it. Take care. That is, again, Carmen Vitale, NFC North reporter for Fox Sports. Yeah, I mean, she's got taken the cautious route as well as I am. Hey, man, we've all been hurt before. When we come back, we will talk more about the Chicago Cubs, the game today. A few notes from the game today. We will tell you how the Cubs are lining up their starting rotation over the next few days. And we're going to hear a little bit from Carter Hawkins, who was on with Spiegel and Holmes the other day with some really good stuff. I have selected a few prime cuts that I would like to play back for you here in just moments. I'm Mark Grody. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, I think there were some bright spots. The strikeouts certainly were bright spots, kind of battling through the first inning. You know, but on a day like today, like, you know, I thought against the starters, you know, we walked two leadoff hitters. That's two of their three runs. You know, our rallies against Ray came with two outs. So, you know, we didn't get it, make him make a bunch of pitches until two outs, really, in a couple of innings. So, you know, when it was tough to hit on a day like day, or the home run was a tough thing, getting the leadoff hitter on and creating some traffic early in an inning, it's seems to be a pretty good recipe to, you know, that's how you got to score. They did it, and we couldn't do it.
It's Cubs manager Craig Counsell talking about the Cubs' 3-1 loss to the Giants today. I'm Mark Grody on the score. Yeah, Ben Brown, a topic of discussion right there. Ben Brown today, 5 innings, 3 runs, 6 hits, 9 strikeouts, 2 walks. He threw 103 pitches. Not bad. Like, weird day at Wrigley Field today. The wind was blowing in. The wind was swirling. The wind was wicked. It was a wicked wind at Wrigley Field today. Part of the problem for Ben Brown in terms of the 103 pitches, it was that he did, I mean, like, worst case scenario, that first inning, he throws 28 pitches. You're coming off a night where you used up a bunch of guys and you had the Ryan Presley breakdown in that bad loss to San Francisco last night. So, yeah, he ran up the pitches, but ultimately, you know, you got to say, like, the last two starts, Ben Brown has been way better than he had been in the previous start and starts. So it was somewhat encouraging, but there was one of those days where you just needed him to stay out there. The problem for Ben Brown today, if you want to say that, being that only 3 runs were scored by the Giants today, leadoff walk in the first inning, leadoff walk in the third inning, and guess what? Both of those runs ended up scoring today. So that was kind of a big deal, the walks, as it turned out. And the Cubs offense just was not able to take advantage. I mean, this is a team that's been slugging and hitting the ball out of the park, and the wins were not allowing that today. Yeah, you got to adjust a little bit. Interestingly enough, the Cubs' one RBI today was an RBI double by PCA, which was completely wind-aided. It was very interesting. You had the ball is hit to left field where Elliot Ramos is playing, and it's just messing with him. Willie Adames, the shortstop. Willie Adames. I see you, Willie Adames, the ex-Brewer Cub killer. Willie Adames did what he was supposed to do. You know, shortstop's supposed to run out until the outfielder calls him off. And Willie Adames took like 2 steps out there. It was like, screw this. And he's like, I'm going to let Elliot Ramos take it. And Ramos had to come way in and ultimately did not catch the ball. The Cubs score their one run of the game. But I guess you could say mental error on Adames. Maybe I'm just wanting to give him a mental error because he's so damn good. But yeah, it was the Elliot Ramos. Not an error. It goes down as a double, and it deservedly so because the wind just messed with it. By the way, Elliot Ramos spelled H-E-L-I-O-T, but it is pronounced Elliot. Not Heliot, as a lot of people probably do pronounce it. So it was that kind of day at Wrigley Field today. I talked a little bit about this earlier, but I got to give credit where credit is due for the Cubs. They played some, you know, they really got out of a jam in the sixth inning. They kept this thing close. Sixth inning, 3-1 Giants, bases loaded, nobody out. Gavin Hollowell inducing. He got them into the trouble, but he did induce a 5-2-3 double play started by the third baseman, John Birdie. Good stuff from John Birdie, the third baseman for the Cubs today. And then eventually Craig Counsell comes out because the bases were loaded. Drew Pomeranz, the lefty, comes in to take on John Yastrzemski. Is it John? It's Yaz. Took him on and struck him out. So they got out of that. But Robbie Ray was the star of the day. Really good for the San Francisco Giants today. The Cubs were not able to do anything with him, and we know Ray is really good. He's a really good pitcher. He's a former Cy Young Award winner. All right, now let's get to the stuff. The stuff is what is going to happen in the near future for the Cubs and the starting staff, because Shota Imanaga is on the injured list. Here's what's going down on Friday. Cubs are off tomorrow, Thursday. On Friday, Jameson Taillon gets the start. On Saturday, TBD. And then on Sunday, it looks like it's going to be Matthew Boyd. So we are all waiting anxiously to see who the Cubs decide to call up to start in that spot. Everything that everybody has said leads to it being Cade Horton. And Cade Horton's performance in the minor leagues leads everybody to believe that he deserves to be the guy, whether it is on Saturday or maybe it happens at home against Miami or against the White Sox after this brief road trip for the Cubs. So you're going to see him in May. It's just a matter of when. Cade Horton, a 1.24 ERA over six starts so far for Iowa. He had the shoulder injury last year. That had me concerned, but he's just looked really good down there, and definitely, like, he deserves it. He deserves to get the call up. Jordan Wicks did have a good, like, it's been rough going for Jordan Wicks, but he did have five innings, zero runs, five hits, five Ks in his most recent start. Carter Hawkins, the general manager of the Chicago Cubs, was on The Score earlier this week in a really good interview with Spiegel and Holmes. I got a lot out of it, and I was really glad that they asked about Jordan Wicks and what the heck is going on with this former first-round pick. Here's Carter Hawkins.
He's backed up a little bit in terms of his performance, and you know, I think he'd be the first one to tell us that. I think at the same time, you know, we've seen flashes of the velocity, flashes of the changeup that you know got some of those comps, you know, a couple of years ago, and you know, in this game where, you know, things are rarely linear, where guys go up and down all the time, he's got a lot of runway left. And, you know, certainly he need to put on the gas a little bit here to get himself back in the mix. But he's absolutely somebody that we're counting on for innings, you know, not just this year, but into the future. And you know, I think if he can continue to increase the deal a little bit and get his changeup back to that weapon that, you know, Verducci was talking about, you know, he's going to be good for a long time.
Score Evenings, weeknight 6 till 9.
I think we're back. Sorry about that. That was weird. I thought it was just my headphones. I was like, weird. I think my...
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I was like, why are my headphones tripping?
It's like, I think I need some new headphones. But apparently, signal was down, and I tell you what, it's always good to know people are listening, because as soon as it went down, people are like, where the hell are you? I thought Grody was on until 9 o'clock. I am here. I hope I sound good. Test 1, 2, 3. I get to be here until 9 o'clock. We were just talking about the Cubs and playing some of the Carter Hawkins audio. So let's get right back into it. And I was talking about Cade Horton and his 1.24 ERA over six starts so far with Iowa. And eventually he's going to come up. This is Carter Hawkins talking about kid Cade Horton.
We have an off day. We have a lot of off days. We can play around with things a little bit here in terms of being flexible with our pitching and then trying to make a decision. But yeah, I mean, we're having the conversation of, you know, how are we going to fill this hole, you know, while Shota's out. And, you know, certainly Cade is one of the guys in AAA that we'll be talking about. And, you know, we'll make those decisions here over the next couple of days.
That is Carter Hawkins, the general manager of the Chicago Cubs, and not really revealing much right there other than, you know, it sounds like Cade Horton is definitely coming up at some point in the month of May. So a little bit of insight there on Horton and Jordan Wicks. Jameson Taillon going to pitch on Friday. Another thing from Carter Hawkins that we're talking about here in just a second, but it needs a little bit of background. I don't know if you guys have read the article or maybe heard about the article. I know it's been alluded to on The Score. Tyler Kepner of The Athletic is doing his rankings and tiers series for front offices, for the top 10 front offices in Major League Baseball in 2025. And they write, or he writes, as we did last year, The Athletic polled 40 of the top decision makers from across the sport asking each to rank the top five front offices in baseball, though they could not vote for their own team. We assigned a point value to each position, 10 points for first place, 7 points for second place, 5 points for third, 3 points for fourth, and 1 point for fifth, and offered anonymity in exchange for unvarnished insights into how their rivals do it. And I'll just read a little bit more here. We'll get to the Cubs, don't you worry. And while the Dodgers were the clear winner overall, 5 voters left them off their ballots entirely, usually to highlight the greater degree of difficulty other teams face. Here's a quote. I respect the hell out of Andrew Friedman and Brian Cashman, one team's baseball operations president said, referring to the top officials for the Dodgers and Yankees. Andrew's a Hall of Famer, and I think Cash is too. But in the end, they have advantages a lot of teams don't. The teams I most admire are the ones like Tampa Bay, Cleveland, and Milwaukee. That said, the Dodgers are still the number one team on that list. A total of 300 points, 23 first place votes. And they were first last year as well. I mean, you can't not make them that. It's sort of like the complicated conversations around like Phil Jackson and Greg Popovich, guys like that who had all the stars in the world. Sometimes it's hard to tell when you're able to have that superstar or all the money in the world that the Dodgers have, then it's difficult to know just how good they are. But I think we know both Brian Cashman with the Yankees, where he had a large payroll, and Andrew Friedman certainly in his, you know, earlier days with the Tampa Bay Rays. To that said, the Rays are number two on that list. This might make you a little bit angry, and you should expect this, but the Brewers are number three on that list. Of course they are. I mean, they have figured something out. Maybe it's slowing down this year a little bit, but I still won't count on that. Here's what Tyler Kepner writes about the Brewers. It's not just that the Brewers do more with less. It's the fact that the big spenders keep poaching their leaders, yet Milwaukee keeps right on winning. Owner Mark Atanasio lost GM David Stearns to the Mets, and manager Craig Counsell of the Cubs, but recognized there was no overhaul needed. Instead of hiring from the outside, he promoted Matt Arnold and Pat Murphy. Then he realized what they're both super fan names. So the Brewers are number three. The Guardians were number four. NYY, the New York Yankees, were number five. Let me go through this. So I see the Cup. No, I see the Yankees right there. I see the Phillies and the Diamondbacks. Let me just skip up a couple of them. The Mets are at number 11. Tigers are 12. The Houston Astros are at Minnesota 50. Seattle Mariners at 17. The Red Sox at 18. The Cincinnati Reds get in there at number 19. Not seeing the Cubs on this list here. And here is a note towards the end of this article. Did not receive votes for the second season in a row in all cases. Athletics, Cubs, White Sox. Oh, they don't even get that. Colorado
White Sox.
Angels, Marlins, Pirates. The Cardinals? Oh, man. Boy, they have sunk. San Francisco and Toronto. Here's the thing. Spiegel and Holmes asked Carter Hawkins about it, and here's how he answered the question.
Hey, Carter, did you happen to see the front office survey that was on The Athletic a couple weeks ago? Tyler Kepner surveyed a whole bunch of front office and manager types. Did that make its way to you?
Yeah, I'm aware of that.
Yeah, and it was because it was kind of jarring to not see the Cubs like in the top 20 of the way that they looked at that, to see the front office there. I'm wondering, you're having a great moment. Your team is like top two, top three in every power rankings. Like things are going just fine. Thank you very much. And there's what did those voters get things wrong from your perspective?
Look, I have a lot of confidence in our front office, a lot of confidence in the people and the decisions that we're making. But I think a lot of those decisions have lagging impacts. I think you're starting to see some of the impacts of the decisions we made a couple of years ago. But as I looked at that survey, like what reason would somebody have had, right, at this point to say we're in the top five of the front offices, right? Like there's, you know, not anything that, you know, is happening at that point that would say, yeah, like those guys have definitely been one of the top five. I think we have one of the top five. I think as the results of our decisions kind of come to fruition here, that, you know, I would assume that we would get votes in the future. Obviously, that's not what we're solving for. We're solving for winning games for the city of Chicago. But yeah, I mean, I read that and was like, yeah, that makes sense. You know, I think about the guys up there, you know, my buddies in Cleveland and other organizations. And it's like, yeah, those guys have consistently made decisions that were really good. And those decisions have come to fruition. Ours haven't come to fruition yet, but I think you're starting to see that this year and hopefully into the years in the future.
That's Cubs GM Carter Hawkins on the Spiegel and Holmes show. Good on them to ask the question. What a God, man. How often, when given a chance to say that you read something or saw something, 95% of the time a GM or athlete or whomever is going to say, yeah, I didn't read it. I've been hearing a little bit about it, but I don't read those things. I don't really pay attention to that stuff. What a great answer from Carter Hawkins. Great on him to admit it and to be ready for it and to give a genuine and solid answer. He's like, yeah, I get it, man. I understand. Look, the Cubs haven't been in the playoffs since 2020, and it's the Chicago damn Cubs, right? I mean, they should be in the postseason, and they're definitely trending that way this year. And I think the best thing the Cubs have going for them in the year 2025 is a desperate front office, because, you know, Jed Hoyer has not been winning since, well, the pandemic year in 2020. The Cubs did go to the playoffs, didn't have success in the playoffs, but there's pressure on him this year. He's all in this year. And I'm not sure that Jed Hoyer has been given the right resources to get done what he has wanted to get done since the year 2020. So I do think that there are, like, some excuses for Hoyer. I'm rooting for Jed Hoyer, like, because I think if you're rooting for Jed Hoyer, then that's good, because Jed Hoyer is rooting for himself and for Carter Hawkins. Like, I don't think this is a situation where if Jed Hoyer is to get fired after this season, I don't think they're promoting Carter Hawkins to that spot, unless there's something going on in that front office that I don't know about. So I think if, like, they fall off the board this year and the Cubs don't make the playoffs, and at this point that would feel kind of catastrophic just because the division is falling off now all of a sudden. Now the Cubs have lost two in a row as I'm saying this. But that, I mean, then they'd probably get the hook, unless Tom Ricketts sees that he hasn't given Jed Hoyer enough money to work with. So you're going to see Jed Hoyer and Carter Hawkins and the rest of that front office doing every damn thing they can to win, because that's what they're supposed to do. But they know, they understand that they may be under the fire a little bit, that if they don't win, they could be out after this season. So I think it's good that these guys are so self-aware and that Jed Hoyer is obviously anxious. He wanted Bregman. He wanted Bregman to be here and was not able to overbid like the Boston Red Sox. So it's going to be interesting to see what these guys do for the rest of the season to make this team better, especially the spot that they are in right now, where you still don't know what's going on at the top of your starting rotation and you don't have the third base situation taken care of yet. But all signs point to, yes, Matt Shaw is going to get one more crack at that third base spot. You should download the Odyssey app, search for 670 The Score, and tap follow to receive alerts on our coverage of the Bears offseason. Bears. And if you can't get enough, check out I would suggest that you can never get enough of this, the Take the North podcast with me, Mark Grody, and Dan Wiederer. We host that show together. We are breaking down all of the key storylines as the Bears rookie minicamp begins this weekend. Follow Take the North on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. We have a episode up and running right now where we preview a little bit of the rookie minicamp and a hilarious Wiederer episode, some of which we're going to share a little bit later on. Dan Wiederer's eyes. His eyes have come into question. Yes, his big blue eyes. And guess what? There's a thing with my eyes as well. So that's coming up in about 30 minutes from now, or maybe a little bit, about 40 minutes from right now. We'll have that little fun for you from the Take the North podcast. And I should also tell you that we'll tell you about this later, but a Cubs ticket giveaway that I'm going to tell you about. Coming up next, another article on Pete Crow Armstrong. I can't get enough. I can't get enough of the PCA pieces, I will say. And the latest one comes from John Greenberg of The Athletic. He will share with the rest of the class, shout out Steve Rosenblum, coming up next on Mark Grovey on The Score.